Welcome to a series of talks about objective consciousness, an objective universe, and an objective way to awaken, expanding upon the works of George I. Gurdjieff and Russell A. Smith. This podcast is part 8 of chapter 7 of the audiobook of The Blueprint of Consciousness. In this episode, we examine sevenfoldness and prove Gurdjieff's assertion that there is an octave in every stopender. And we look at the unique characteristics of each note, applying these to the world of plants. Let's begin. The Blueprint of Consciousness, an accelerated path to awakening, by Russell A. Smith. Chapter 7, Traversing Suspended Continuity, Part 8. Pages 143 to 147. Sevenfoldness. Gurdjieff's cosmology affirms, repeatedly, that within every stopender in an octave, there comes forth another seven stopenders. And within each of these seven stopenders come seven more, and so forth. But how does this occur? The dog is revealed if we combine the inner octaves from chapter 3 with the outer octaves from chapter 6. In chapter 3, we examined the three octaves of radiations between the four fundamental points. Do to so, so to me, and me to re. Notice that one of these three inner octaves, the inner octave from me to re, satisfies this idea, i.e., seven stopenders in a stopender, or from one comes seven, comes 49, etc. Also, when we examined the fate of the notes as they reappeared in scale 1 and scale 2, we found that T became a so one scale removed from itself. This means that the notes do T eventually becomes the notes do so. And since the notes do and so are fundamental points, they are connected by an octave. Therefore, the interval between the notes do and T, which becomes do so, is traversed by an octave. Okay, what is next? Well, Gurdjieff once said that at every note of an octave, there was a whole octave. That is, out of one octave comes 7, comes 49. Let us explore that. And here, we show a diagram of a whole octave within every octave. Remember the above diagram on page 136 of In Search of the Miraculous? Russell's response. Gurdjieff said, "Don't believe anything. Therefore, I am not going to believe that unless I can find them." So, Russell began looking for octaves between the notes, not at the notes. Remember how, in chapter 3, the four fundamental points, do, so, mi, and re, occurred at natural positions of halving, and created 3 octaves of radiations. If you do, then you will understand, since me and ray are 2 of the fundamental points, a natural octave occurs between them. Eureka! Russell found one. He was able to verify that between me and ray, there is an octave. No questions asked. Then, on page 41 of Cosmic Secrets, and on page 158 of this guide, we also discovered that the T-Do interval becomes an octave. Remember how T skipped a scale, became a so, and then a do? And how the original do stayed a do? And how between those do's, an octave was created? If so, great. We can then check a second interval off the list. Okay. We have now verified there is an octave between re mi and between ti do. 2 down, 5 to go. The question now becomes, how the heck are we going to find octaves in between the other 5? We can discover the answer to that question if we go back to the model of the 6p octave, which showed all the octaves in the universe that contained one or more of the vibrations of the 6p octave. On page 386, we assigned math to the 6p octave. Let us put that math here as well. 24, 27, 30, 32, 36, 40, 45, and 48. Okay. So far, we found 2 intervals that contain octaves. Re mi and ti do. And here, we show a diagram of the 6p octave, showing all the octaves in the universe containing one or more of the vibrations of the 6p octave. Do all re mi and ti do intervals contain octaves? Yes. All re mi and ti do intervals contain octaves. We repeat. All re mi and ti do intervals contain octaves. Okay. What about the re mi interval of the 8p octave? Does that re mi interval contain an octave too? Yes, all re mi intervals do. Now, if there is an octave between the re mi in the 8p octave, between 36 and 40 vibrations, then what do you think is going to occur between 36 and 40 vibrations in the 6p octave? There is going to be an octave. The octave created between re mi in the 8p octave exists between so la in the 6p octave. It is an amazing thing. If an octave is created between 36 and 40 vibrations, then everyone who has 36 and 40 vibrations has that octave. Another way to understand this idea is, if you were on a journey and you came to a gorge, and in order to get across that gorge, you built a bridge, then if someone else was on a journey and they came to the same gorge at the same spot, they could use your bridge. Cool. we can now check a third interval off the list. Three down, four to go. Okay, if there is an octave between T do in the 8P octave, then there is an octave between Mi Fa in the 6P octave as well. That is, if an octave is created between 30 and 32 vibrations, then everyone who has 30 and 32 vibrations has that octave. Yay! Another bridge. We can now check a fourth interval off the list. Four down, three to go. We have found an octave in four of the intervals. The only ones we have not yet found are the intervals Do Re, Fa So, and La Ti. Remember how, on page 159, we discussed that the reason the Ti Do interval was shortened was for the purpose of facilitating the commencement of a new cycle of its completing process. We proved that the octave created between Ti Do doubles, like all octaves do. And when it does, it creates an octave between Do and Re, which allows the journey to, once again, commence. Eureka! That means, since all Ti Do intervals double, there is definitely an octave between Do Re, between 24 and 27 vibrations. Check. It also means that if the 8P octave has an octave between Do Re, between 32 and 36 vibrations, then the 6P octave also has an octave between Fa So, between 32 and 36 vibrations. Check. Six down, one to go. That is, six intervals that all contain an octave. We just need one more. Well, look at that. The 7P's Do Re coincides with the 6P's La Ti. And since the 7P's Do Re contains an octave, the 6P's La Ti contains one as well. We have done it. We have proved that there is an octave in every interval. Not because Mr. Gurdjieff told us so, but because we found them. We found an octave in every interval. We did not just assume they were there because someone said that they were there. We looked for them, and we found them. We found them in the law-conformable mathematics of the octave, in the intervals Re-Mi, Ti-Do, and Do-Re. And since they are there, they are also in the coinciding intervals Mi-Fa, Fa-So, So-La, and La-Ti of other outer octaves. Axiom number 12. There is an octave in every interval. We repeat. There is an octave in every interval. Wow! That is of tremendous importance. With this knowledge, we can explore the seven octaves of organic life. Fact. Every note has unique characteristics. Russell calls them the aspects of the notes. Since every note has a unique aspect, we will be able to use that aspect to understand the octaves that occur in every interval. Okay. Firstly, we need to define what the aspects of the notes are. What are they? Re has the aspect of a plant. Things at re usually stay in one place. Re is like a plant. Mi has the aspect of movement. Things at mi are like a creeping vine, a cricket, or a travelling salesman. Fa has an emotional aspect. Things at fa will be like mothers who take care of their young, raise them, and protect them. So has an intellectual aspect. Things at so will know and remember things, and they will practice smart sex. La has a social aspect. Things at la will group together, live in packs or herds, and will take care of each other. Finally, T has the aspect of reason. Things at T will calculate and figure stuff out. Okay, we have now defined the aspects of the notes. It is truly an amazing study. Remember, every note in every octave will reflect these defined aspects. Now, we will apply that knowledge to the octaves that we found in every interval. We will start with the octave of plants. We should be able to find plants that reflect each of these aspects. Starting with the re aspect, do you know of any plants that act like plants? Okay, that was easy. Are there any plants with the aspect of me? Plants that move. Creeping vines. St. Augustine grass comes to mind. It moves by sending out runners. It will take over your yard and your neighbor's yard. Yikes! There is also a unique plant in Arizona that moves. If you stumble upon it, you will find a big ring, a plant growing around the circumference of a 50-foot-wide circle. Why? Well, 2,000 years ago, it started growing in one spot. Then, the plant sent out roots in every direction, and new growth sprang up in a circle around the original plant. The central part of the plant got old and faded away. Fortunately, the new growth, which was growing in a circle, continued sending out more roots, and the circle got bigger. After 2,000 years, as old growth faded away, and new growth kept working its way out to new ground, a giant circle was formed. It was the same plant that started 2,000 years ago, but it had moved. Okay, it was slow movement, but it was movement. Thus, we do have plants that move. However, most plants do not. They just release seeds. But we found some that do. Okay. So far, we have plants with the aspect of Ray and plants with the aspect of me. Are there any plants with the aspect of Far? Plants that are like mothers. Plants that raise their kids. Did you ever hear of a spider plant or Chlorophytum commosum? And here we show a picture of Chlorophytum commosum, aka spider plant. People usually have them in hanging baskets. They grow little baby plants on the end of long stems. I am not going to cast my seeds to the wind. I am going to give live birth to my children. I am going to nurture them, feed them, and raise them. It is like an emotional animal, caring for its young. Each long stem has a baby plant growing on its end. And as the baby plants grow and get bigger and bigger, they get heavier and heavier. The increasing weight of the growing baby plants causes the long stems to eventually bend over and gently place the baby plants on the ground, away from the parent plant. Then, the baby plants put their roots in the soil. The stems decay, and the baby plants start to grow on their own. It is like a mother. Okay. We found plants that have the aspect of Far. Plants that birth, feed, and raise their children. What is next? Can we find any intelligent plants? Plants that have the aspect of So? Well, bean plants can be trained to grow toward blue light and a signal. And when there is no blue light, just a signal, the trained bean plants will grow toward the signal. We can see intelligence there. And of course, plants can track the sun across the sky. That looks pretty intelligent to me. Or some release their spores only during a full moon and have smart sex. Thus, some plants do have the aspect of So. What about La? Plants with social qualities. Thickets, briars, and blackberries come to mind. Those plants grow in groups. They are social plants. Together, they protect each other. By being in a big cluster, they keep the plant eaters at bay, not to mention their thorns. Hey, we just want to stick around and socialize. There are also other plants that have the aspect of La. These are just a few. Finally, do we have any plants with the aspect of T? Plants that look like they have reason? What would they be? How about the Venus flytrap? It actually catches bugs. It does not just sit there and all of a sudden close, thinking there may be a bug on it. It waits until there is a bug on it. It senses it, then traps it, and eats it. Yum! Or a pitcher plant, which makes gummy goo around its top with a slippery slope inside. Those plants are different than blades of grass. They are different than spider plants. The Venus flytrap and the pitcher plant actually interact with the world around them. And when bugs and flies are within their grasp, they catch them. That is like having reason, making a trap. Additionally, a Mimosa pudica, or sensitive plant, has stems off its trunk with what looks like spread apart fingers on the end. On each finger, there are dozens of little surfboard-shaped leaflets. If you touch one leaflet, it folds up along the stem. If you disturb one finger, all the leaflets on that finger will fold up. If you disturb the stem, all the fingers will close. It looks like a hockey stick. Disturb it even more, and the stem will fold down along the trunk. Disturb the entire plant, and everything folds. In this way, the sensitive plant protects itself from danger. After the disturbance has ceased, the stems slowly come up, the fingers slowly spread, and the leaflets slowly unfold until the next raindrop hits. And here we show a picture of Mimosa pudica, aka sensitive plant. Okay, we found plants with the aspect of every note, which, when you think of it, is kind of amazing. Next, we will do the world of insects, one-brained beings. There must be an octave of them as well. That concludes today's podcast. If you would like a chance to read the whole book, The Blueprint of Consciousness, An Accelerated Path to Awakening, which is available as a high-quality 520-page hardback, and also as a PDF download, simply visit the store at our website, thedogteachings.com. The Blueprint of Consciousness contains an objective exercise in awakening that has literally awakened hundreds of people. Be free. Be awake. Be real. And realize your full potential as a human being. On our website, you'll be able to listen to other talks, obtain diagrams, animations, supporting videos, and much, much more. In addition, you can also find us on Instagram and Facebook under The Dog Teachings. And, as a reminder, we have two Zoom classes every Saturday to assist you. Level 1 is freely available for anyone who purchases the Blueprint of Consciousness. And the other is for those who have obtained the Master Exercises and the Double or Nothing Exercises. See under Resources/Zoom Classes for more details. All at thedogteachings.com. That's thedogteachings.com. Goodbye. Until next time.